And if anybody else would like to learn the back there in the technical. Good morning and God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of James. James and the fifth chapter. You know, there's a thief out there. And he's trying to steal something from you. And one of the main things that he inflames is something we're going to talk about today. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. And today we're going to talk about the thief of peace. The thief of peace. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Father, apply this to our hearts, that we would live it through our lives, that we would consciously and through your efforts for us, as we make those efforts, give glory to you, that our way, our being, our life, our character reflects yours, and so therefore give you glory. We ask this for your glory, and in your name, Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. You ever been looking for something, but all you really find is frustration? Over and over again, and then you go to a different place. You're already frustrated. Now you're on edge. But then you find frustration again, and then again and again. It seems like it's the one thing that you can't avoid. The one thing you don't want to find is the one thing that you do find. Again, you're already on edge, let's say, but then it gets amplified. You're sitting in traffic, waiting in line, watching as someone who breaks the rules gets what they want, while following the rules gets you nowhere. It's easy to identify with the experience of your patience wearing thin and your peace evaporating. Amen? Do we know that? Now, they say patience is a virtue, and it is. But a lack of patience is where many Christians fail to be faithful. And they fail to grow. Now, their obedience doesn't seem to be having an effect on their circumstances. They wonder how long they're going to have to wait on the Lord for an answer or for some sense of relief. There's the net. Everybody's in it. Whew, there we are. Ready to go on a journey? Yes, amen. They wonder how long they'll have to wait on the Lord for an answer or for some sense of relief. Again, they become impatient with life, with God, and with God's people, and with just people in general. And then at some point, they've had enough, and they give up. They've tried doing it the right way, and now they want to try some other way. Obedience doesn't seem to be paying off. But to make your obedience conditional upon results isn't submission, it's sin. Now, the truth is that triumphs and tragedies are not distributed proportionately in this life. Children, brace yourself. People, turn down your hearing aids. If you don't get that in your head, you are going to be a miserable person and bring it out on the rest of us. But I refuse to accept that misery. I want to tell you about God's word. But I've been this person. I don't want to be this person. I pray that God shows you the mirror today. Because again, triumphs and tragedies are not distributed proportionally in this life or in your particular life. Sometimes it seems like everything's going good and you wish you could just kind of space it out a little bit for when those things aren't going so good. But maybe you ought to see it as God building up those things like a bulwark in your life so you don't swift out to sea when times are rough. You know, the waves are rough. You know, little waves can't crash big boats. Are you on the ark or not? Now again, if you want to continue to be faithful during the difficulties, to remain obedient despite the obstacles, to please God and honor God through all the problems, you've got to learn to be patient. And we're going to talk about how. This text tells you how. You might be getting impatient right now. That should tell you something. The problem isn't me. And even when it is, it's still your reaction to it. I'm not saying that I can't try your patience. I apparently wear the crown. But you can still be the king of queen of impatience. Now, again, if you want to please God through all the problems, you've got to learn to be patient. Instead of taking matters into your own hands, you've got to put your troubles in God's hands. He will do what is right. That's why he keeps talking about the coming of the Lord. You're saying, well, he's just telling you that. We're going to apply this. The problem is that people feel and live as if their ultimate good must also include their temporal satisfaction. Remember what we said last week, that peace in your soul is greater than satisfaction in your life. It's not that we don't want to be satisfied. Of course we do. But God wants to change what satisfies us. Now again, a lot of people may indeed let God define a good ending. I'm going to heaven. I've got my fire insurance. I've got, you know, all that. Yeah, amen. But they define a good life. And when they aren't getting what they want, they lose patience and they stop being obedient. And they get nasty. Yeah, I look in the mirror too. The mirror of the Word of God. But it's also like a shower. Sometimes the showers of blessings are the things that get us out of those sins. We don't see them as blessings because it hurts. But I got that belly button tucked in a couple of years ago. They had to do three. I still got three. Looks like knife wounds right here. And it hurt. But now, you know, I can wear my shirts without people thinking I'm 3 inches fatter than I was. Sorry. Are you losing patience already? I'm going to try you today on purpose. People say, why did you do that? Just to aggravate you. And I might mean that. And you need to hear that. And maybe God led me to do that. You see, you want me to be your pastor till I need to be your pastor. The truth is that problems are a promise for the Christian. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. John 16:33. Acts 14:22. Through many trials and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3:12. All pos means all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, you don't have to suffer persecution. All you got to do is compromise. And so you need to develop patience or you will develop an ever-increasing frustration factor. Developing patience is a matter of vision. Instead of simply focusing on the present problems, you got to look to the future and the past. Can you hear me? You focus on the Lord's return. Look at the text. It's very clear. Focus on the Lord's return and the Lord's judgment. Look back to the biblical examples of patient people and look forward to the blessings of patient, faithful obedience. Now let's look at verse 7 and 8 again. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receive the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now James is talking about patience with people. Oh boy. Verses 4 through 6 speak of wicked people enriching themselves by ripping others off, manipulating others through the courts, robbing people's possessions, ruining people's lives. But some of those people had patience, and they turned their case over to God, knowing that His will and His glory are more important than their suffering. Now, James illustrates this truth about patience using a farmer. In order to have a successful crop, he needed to both the early, that would be in the fall, and the late, that would be in the spring rains. It was a long season, and he would have to work hard on the land, tilling the soil, toiling, spreading the seed, and that work wouldn't yield immediate results. That was God speaking to you right there. He had to be patient. He had to hope in the future, and yet the rains were outside his control. In the end, the farmer counted the cost, and he paid the price because the harvest was worth it. You got to live like Jesus is worth it, that suffering for Jesus is worth it, that no one paying attention is worth it, that what seems to be fruitless, when you're faithful, is worth it. It was valuable and precious, that harvest, amen? James says that you have a choice. You have the ability to be patient, as Galatians 5:22 says. I like to call it the number 9, you know, self-control and love, joy, peace, patience, or as I like to say when we come upon that verse, as the King James Version says, long-suffering. Long-suffering. I can go longer than that, but But I don't want it when people mess with me, you know? Christians shouldn't look for immediate gratification, but look for Christ's return. I was talking to a precious brother this morning who's been on the same mission for about 20 years. And he'd heard something from God, and he's been doing it. And I've talked to him maybe 10, 15 times myself. And then it's like, okay, but eventually it comes. Do not be weary in well-doing, for the harvest comes if we will be patient. It's Galatians 6, 9, I believe. Now, you're going to see some measure of blessings in this life, and some problems will be overcome, praise Jesus, but the full harvest is yet to come. In the meantime, you've got to labor, you've got to toil, it's drudgery. It's mundane, and although your service might go unrecognized and your problems may persist, God is faithful. Be faithful, therefore, to the coming of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. God is not so slack, or God is not caring enough that he's not going to recognize your work of love. Can you hear me? Now, you can choose to strengthen your heart by hoping in Christ's return. Titus 2:11 through 14 says that we are looking for that salvation, putting away the ungodliness and hoping for that blessed return. You can live for today by having an eye for tomorrow. You can be patient, strong. See, I haven't even told you how to do it yet, have I? But we need a lot of this. We need to almost stir it up so that we get rid of it. You can be patient, strong, stay the course, remain faithful and obedient, and you don't have to give in to sin. Jesus is coming back and is one day closer than the day before. And he's one second closer now. That's what Romans 13:11 tells you. Each day is one day closer than it was before. Now look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You need patience with people. Not only those outside the fellowship of believers who take advantage of you, but also with those who cause you grief within the fellowship. Pound, 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 throw, smash, whatever I need to do to get your attention. That includes me, that includes you, that includes everybody. But if you're Holy Ghost dancing, people can't step on your toes so easy. But anyway. Now, this grumbling, when it mentions grumbling here, isn't necessarily referring to something you utter out loud to others. This is talking about an inward grumbling where you are harshly judging someone else. Maybe you're just distant from them, cold with them, indifferent to them now. That's not love. It's an unspoken feeling of bitterness towards one another, towards believers, and God knows. People sometimes lose patience because of what someone else said or done or neglected to do to them. They get offended, and they give up on the person or the church, and they don't follow what the Bible says about forgiving them from their heart. Remember, there's twofold. Mark 11:25, you forgive from your heart. And then Luke 17:3 and 4, you go to that person and you say, I want to make amends here. I believe you sinned at me. I believe maybe I did this. You forgive each other. Just say, oh, no, it's okay. No, I forgive you. There's power in that. We've taught about that a lot. You got to allow the other church and the person a chance to repent. A lot of times they don't even know it. You're holding something, but you know you shouldn't be, and that's why you don't go to them. This will only build on itself, and this lack of patience will spill over into other lives as well, as the person just grows colder and colder to all sorts of people, even those that love them. Forgiven people become forgiving people. Otherwise, they'll become the kind of person who just doesn't have any patience for anything or anyone anymore. I'm sure you've met those type of people before. The question is, are you becoming one of them? A test of that is if you're becoming more resentful of people who just don't seem to do what you think they ought to do. Or if you find yourself getting increasingly agitated and aggravated at people for less and less things. Your button keeps getting bigger. And it goes off much quicker. And it lasts even longer. And instead of just one shot, bing, 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 it's like a death ray on you. Your patience is dwindling. Your anger, bitterness, and resentment, your contempt are growing, and it takes less and less to set you off. And God's got your number. And when you know the commandments of God in the hearts of men, people will know. You may act calm, but your frustration is amplified. You need a remedy. Amen. Who's courageous enough to say they need a remedy? James tells you that there is a remedy. You can have patient, forgiving spirit. You can do this by focusing on the fact that Jesus will judge, and he will do perfectly. You must remember that you have your own failures, and you need to stay humble. Forgiven people are forgiving people, and judgmental people will wind up being judged for it. Impatience dishonors God, and it has immediate effects. Not just long-term effects, not just the judge at the door, not just your losing rewards, we're going to get to that, but impatience is a thief. It robs your peace. Impatience robs your peace. Now, in the temporal sense, you can be given other remedial judgments. The chastening discipline of the Lord. In the eternal sense, your labor in the Lord will be judged, and you will suffer a loss of reward, a real loss of reward, when your lack of patience affected people. James describes Jesus as if the ultimate judge is about to take action. It's high time for humility and past time for losing patience. Will you become a more patient person, or will you become a bitter, judgmental person? A Christian has a new nature, but change isn't automatic. Change isn't automatic. You can use these truths to renew your mind and change your life, but the choice is yours. Will you learn patience, or will you say, when they change, then I will change? Even if they do change, you won't. It's like people saying, well, if I had this money and all that, you'd be the same person. Money does not change you. Money reveals you. You start yelling about the people out there, then it gets closer and closer and closer and closer into your relationships. Will you learn patience, or will you let impatience rob your peace? People have the wrong idea about godly patience. They think patience is simply keeping a stiff upper lip, not saying anything, keeping your mouth shut, keeping your opinions to yourself, keeping your feelings in check. They think that patience means you won't enjoy life. They think that if you don't keep patience, you're not going to get the things you want. You need it. You've got to be on the ball. They think patience is like indifference. But patience is a blessing. But it's a blessing that almost no one wants. Because it's a blessing that no one believes actually is a blessing. And they're impatient about learning to be patient and the blessing of patience. But what if? Listen, anybody? What if you could patiently deal with problem people and tense situations and have grace under fire? What if you were able to keep your cool? I've got you, fool. Satan? No. What if you're able to keep your cool, not just outwardly, but inwardly? No matter what. What if you never blew up or lashed out in anger? What if it didn't happen in your insides? Because that's where it comes from. You're wrestling with God about something he's trying to change you at. And so it's God versus God, the real God versus you on the throne, battling back and forth, and that comes out. Oh my. I need to learn this. Even when I think I've learned it, I can't say I've learned it. I'm learning it. I'm continuing to learn it. What if you never blew up, though? What if you never held on to a grudge? What a blessing that would be. And not just being indifferent, well, it doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. No, no, no. Still actually loving people without trying to be distant with them because I just can't talk to them. Oh, my. What if you can go to that Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever party, and they bring up religion or politics, and they're a heathen of heathens? No, none of us need this, do we? When your children are just going wayward like crazy, and you just want to tell them, And they already know what you're going to tell them. But then when you tell them, there's the door. But what? First things first. Get that patience down in, that peace down in your soul. That way things don't take you by surprise. How do you expect heathens to act? How do you expect people to act when you throw it at them? Rah! It's like you see all this stuff on social media online. We're parading around our bitterness in the name of Christianity. People feel justified in their frustration, and they think they would suffer untold numbers of injustices otherwise. I don't want to be a doormat. You're not going to be a doormat. You're going to be a door. That wasn't on the notes. Hallelujah. But the truth is that bitterness only injures yourself. It's like drinking poison, hoping someone else gets sick. And nothing robs peace like impatience. It's like taking a knife and stabbing yourself over and over again. Come on. Why don't you go stop hitting yourself with a knife? It's like you're putting on the shoes and saying, someone else is wearing them. This shoe fits all. Nothing robs peace like impatience. When you become impatient, you have a wrong mindset, and it leads you to fighting the wrong enemy. The enemy isn't the other person or the situation. The enemy is the sin that you sink into as a reaction to the person or the situation. That is what is stealing your peace. It isn't the situation, it's your reaction. And it's your inner reaction. You can do something about it. Even if the other person never gets it right. Never makes it right, or doesn't even care. Even if the situation never gets any better, it isn't dependent upon them or on circumstances. It is dependent on capital Y-O-U. Your challenge isn't the trials you go through. Your challenge is whether or not you're going to trust that God loves you, even though he allows you to go through the trials. Jesus proves himself to you in this way. Listen to me carefully. I will speak slow. Jesus proves himself to you in this way. What did I just say? The challenge isn't the trial. The challenge is trusting God, even though he lets you go through the trials. And through those trials, when you're trusting God, that's how you get to know him, to identify with him. What do I mean? Jesus knew that his Father loved him despite the fact that he was sending him to earth to live a persecuted and sacrificial life. Jesus knew that it was all worth it because he was going to save you through his own suffering. Here. He asked you to identify with him through yours. Father, I'm suffering. I cannot say that I'm suffering needlessly because you have purpose. I cannot say that I'm suffering without sin because I have sin. But I feel like what's happening to me is something I didn't start. I don't deserve, and I don't want. But Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I take up my cross. I deny what I want, and I follow you to that cross. Because those that suffer cease from sin. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me turn in my big Bible here to that myself because we're adding something on here. Anybody with me? Maybe you've never seen this in this way. 1 Peter 4:1 says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Jesus never had sin. Who's this talking about? You. So as to live the rest of his time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God, you need to suffer the death of your flesh. And when it raises up again, do not believe in reincarnation. Believe in redemption. Amen. Do you see it there? Suffer and let that old man die. And this is one of the primary ways and one of the primary shapes of it. Jesus knew it was all worth it because he was going to save you through his own suffering, and he asked you to identify with him through yours, will you accept the challenge? Now, you keep working on it and asking God about it and trying to develop it and thinking about the end time, have an end time mindset. You know, we got to start evangelizing people. Jesus is coming back. Right? You say, well, it's been 2,000 years. And what does it say in 2 Peter 3? They said the same thing. Well, it's been all these years. Don't do that. That's an immature mindset. It doesn't matter. God's got everything figured out, so why pray? That's immature. Don't do it. I'm glad he's got it all figured out. Otherwise, he can't keep his promises. But he can keep his promises because he already knows what's going to happen. Right? Amen. Rejoice in the sovereignty of God. But just because God's sovereign doesn't mean we're static. You do stuff. Why? Because he tells you to. Jesus knew it was all worth it. He knew for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross wasn't joy. The cross was the cross. Learning patience isn't the joy. Learning Jesus is. Will you accept the challenge? Or will you keep letting your peace get stolen while blaming everyone else? The choice is yours. Heavenly Father, I need this. We all need this. We need to focus not on law, don't do it, but on grace. I've done it. And then walk with you. And then when we see that long road to the cross and we're afraid and we have doubts and it starts to hurt even before we get there because the whip is on our back, we can know that it was on his first, that he has done this and he asked us to identify. And in doing that, we would know you. Not just know about you, but know you. Know you. Help us to know you through this. Yes, to grow in patience. Yes, to make it nicer for everybody around us because we're more patient people now. But to see the benefit, the blessing of it, and to know you through it. And, Lord, we do need to feel those needles, that goad that we're kicking up against when we're not doing it the right way. But you do this for our good. Lord, I pray that we have to go through a minimum amount of it before we get the idea. Help us, Lord. We love you. Help us to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.